Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, Larry, your turn.
Yeah, you guys do a great job. I have a couple quick questions. Steiny and Guru got this. They said, "Well, why did this guy think that that the 49ers lost the Super Bowl?" And I thought it was pretty obvious that the announcer said, "Hey, the coach had a play that he hadn't used all day, and he used it 2 or 3 weeks ago, and so this, it was kind of a trick play, and so it worked, and so the coach won that game. It had nothing to do about any of the other players. It's the coach."
You're talking about Andy Reid?
Yeah.
I mean, Larry, why would you whittle that entire 4-hour story down to one play? There's a billion other things that happened that day.
Yeah, but that one play is what won the game.
No, it was just the last play. I mean, why couldn't I?
Well, the last play.
You know what I mean?
Like, sudden death.
But the 49ers could have stopped them before that play. I don't know, man. I just don't look at it that way. I never get to the end of a game and think that everything happened on one play. That was the last play. You're right about that.
I just figured that's why you pay people like Steve Kerr $35 million. You pay the coach to make those decisions in key minutes, and that's why you pay those guys the big buckets.
But Larry, like, the players need to execute the play. Like, what if I said this? The play that led to the 49ers having to kick a field goal in overtime was a beautifully schemed play by Kyle Shanahan. Brandon Ayuk was by himself in the end zone. It was beautifully schemed. It was not beautifully blocked,
right?
But it was beautifully schemed. One of their offensive linemen went the wrong way. You lose. That could have happened to a Chief. It didn't. They got another ring.
Yeah, so, Spencer Burford went the wrong way.
Yeah, like I don't know. The whole one play, one person thing is just not for me.
Especially when it comes to the scheme. And like you said, there are plays that both sides schemed well that didn't execute, and other plays that were executed that probably weren't schemed that well. It's football. When you get into a full game, 5 quarters, a full overtime, and it comes down to just a couple of plays and a couple of moments, hard to say that one guy outcoached the other guy.
Willard and Dibbs, let's keep going on the phones. Rod in Vallejo. Hi, Rob. What are you doing?
Great show, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
A little bit off the topic, but I'm just curious. Do you think one of the NFL teams will risk picking up Burns of North Carolina State, the big center, and give him a shot at right tackle? He's really light on his feet.
You're talking about the kid that plays basketball also.
Yes, and he's not going to make it in the NBA.
Well, right. 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 Well, I have no idea if someone's going to take a flyer on this one. Why? You like him, Rod?
I think he's, I don't know if he played football in high school, but if he's tough enough, I think he would be a risk looking at right tackle.
Yeah. I mean, like Rod, with all due respect, I got no idea. The kid barely played football. I know he's built like a football player, and so, you know, you could take a flyer on him in the seventh round. You could do the whole undrafted thing, bring him in, take a look at him. But, I mean, I'm not putting any stock in the guy, that's for sure.
He was asked about his interest level before they took on Purdue. What's your interest level in being drafted in the NFL?
What do you say?
Zero.
Okay. I love that. I like the pick.
Zero. Yes. I like the pick. And the kid's got... He's got a chance to be a pro basketball player. I don't know about in the NBA, but
I don't know, man.
If you look at the trajectory of his college career, he's gotten a whole lot better, and he's got some skills. I know he's a big guy in a small man's league, but
he's a big, big boy.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, look, the funny thing.
6'9", 275 is what he's listed
at. The funny thing about that answer that you just read, the funny thing about that is if you talk to a lot of like NFL coaches, one thing that they talk about in terms of what they look for in a player is not something that we think much about, because we're just doing what we do. We watch the TV and you know, we play fantasy football and we root for our team. But one thing I know coaches really look for is, and sometimes it's hard to tell, but does he love football? Because football hurts like hell. Like, it hurts so bad, and it is not pleasant. It's fun. I'm not saying it's not fun, but the process. Do you remember what TJ just talked to us about this the other day? The process that you have to go through to succeed at a high level in the NFL is incredibly painful and incredibly difficult and unpleasant at times.
Yep.
And so if you're looking at a prospect and he's like, yeah, not really into it, I mean, that is the
ultimate red flag.
That is the ultimate red flag.
No doubt. No doubt.
So, and out.
TJ mentioned it with Brandon about, you know, all y'all, you have no idea the amount of work it takes to be good in this league. The league that has a 100% injury rate. And so even when you don't feel like going in there and putting in the work, you got to get up and put in the work, and you're in the weight room, and you're getting the massage, and you're on the track, and you're doing the running and all the rest of it. And that's every single day of your life. And Brandon Ayuk, after the Super Bowl, he was in his locker. You could see the emotions after the loss.
Man. Yep.
He was in agony, and he probably took a day, maybe two, and felt bad about himself. And then he's back in the lab, as the goo would say. And these guys put in an unbelievable amount of work to earn that money that they all get.
Gosh. This thing, Tim Kawakami just said it's going to be dramatic. I wonder if you feel the same way I do. Let me run through some comments real quick.
The draft is 23 hours and 54 minutes away.
Do, 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 do. I can't do it.
Okay. Better than Lucas.
That's what I want to do. There we go. Got it. All right. Memory. Gone. Anyway, the sound of the people does not sound like the percentage they guess. Does that make sense? Every single person that we've talked to, that we've read, everyone guesses that Brandon Ayuk is going to be on the 49ers after tomorrow. Above 50-50. Every single person. Yet they all talk like he's gone. I mean, here's what I mean by that. Every single person, from Mike Silver's article to Tim Kawakami saying this,
the 49ers are positioning themselves around the league that they could trade Ayuk. Maybe that's the way to get the best trade offer. Maybe you put a scare in Ayuk. I don't know. That's how they're positioning it, in the way I've heard. And I think Ayuk's camp is positioning it. Yeah, fine, trade us. We're going to go somewhere that will pay us. We just want to get what's right. Both sides, maybe it's a stare down. Maybe it's a game of chicken. But you know what? Games of chicken sometimes end up in crashes. So I'm going to wait. It's going to be very dramatic. I guess there's a potential they could even do it the next day for a second round pick. I think that would be silly. I think Brandon Ayuk, if you're going to trade him, you got to get a really good first round pick and get a receiver that you know can plug right in there. Because if they trade him for a second round pick, boy, I think they really take a step backwards in this quest to win a Super Bowl.
Okay, so listen to that. They're positioning themselves around the league to trade Brandon Ayuk. Ian Rappaport.
I would say this pretty confidently. Whatever the 49ers will pay Brandon Ayuk, who they really, really like as a player who they developed all the way through, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a team that's willing to pay him more. That's actually not really the question. The question really is, does Brandon Ayuk want to stay in San Francisco with a team that's awesome and will probably be very good for a long time? Are they going to pay him the most in the NFL? Maybe not. They got a good team. They want to keep it together. But would it be enough to keep him? I'm kind of with you. I'm leaning more as of right now of him potentially staying, but this story has not yet been written fully.
Okay. So once again, everybody's like, yeah, I'm leaning that Brandon Ayuk will stay, but I can tell you that right now, around league circles, these conversations are happening, and Tim Kawakami's final word that he used was, this is going to be dramatic.
Dramatic. Yes, absolutely dramatic, especially when you get into certain spots in the draft, certain touch points where there are teams that have been either rumored or connected to Brandon Ayuk, or teams that we think might have a wide receiver need. And so as you get to those spots, it's an inflection point, and we'll all collectively hold our breath. And when Roger Goodell sashays up and we hear that chime, dun, 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 dun.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's, you know, so far I'm in second place.
Anyway, go ahead.
The chime comes out, and Roger Goodell steps up. And with the 12th pick, there's been a trade.
There's been a trade.
And a collective gasp.
Not moving up to 12. They're not moving up to 12.
With the 5th pick,
they're not moving
up to 5.
The
Chargers have traded the pick.
Good Lord.
To the Niners.
They're not doing that.
For Brandon Ayuk. Yuck, yuck, yuck,
yeah,
yuck,
what
yuck.
Do we need to do to get Rap Sheet to stop calling him Brandon Ayuk?
He's the Poughkeepsie kid.
What the hell is happening?
Pajowski.
I mean, 1,300 yards. Well, how many yards do you need for someone to pronounce your name correctly?
1,500.
What are we doing? Honestly, what are we doing?
Puka Nacua.
Yeah, I love Justin Jefferson. What are we doing? Brandon Ayuk.
Yuck, yuck, yuck,
especially
yuck, yuck.
Three Stooges. It's not even just a mispronunciation sensation.
That's a buck.
It's
that's
also
an Ayuk.
Like the word ends up being yuck.
Cha-ching!
Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk.
Totally.
Come on.
With the 5th pick, the Chargers have made a trade.
No, stop it. We're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Well, you've got Pittsburgh at 20. Are we doing that? Are we going up from 31 to 20?
I'm going to say no to everything. You know I'm going to say no to everything.
The Bears at 9. They're drunk with first-round picks.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Niners move up to 9.
One of them is going to be Caleb Williams, who I am thoroughly confident is going to be a bust.
Not you hear that, Lucas?
Not because of any of the things that you've heard online. It's just because he's going to be a Bear. And I've lived a long time, and that's how it works. The Bears quarterback sucks. It's just the way it works. It's a rule. I didn't make the rule. It's a rule. The Bears quarterback sucks at football. It's just how it works. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Sorry, Caleb. You stink.
Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. If you had to put stock, you had to put your weak paycheck, as you said to Kawakami. Who are you putting your week's worth of pay?
Well, I make a lot of money.
Oh, you sure do. Out of those four QBs, who are expected to go 1, 2, 3, and maybe 5, depending on what happens at 4?
Give it to me again. How are you asking it? What
who would
the
you
question?
Put your stock in? Who do you think is going to have the best career? Because we know
Did you give me five?
I gave you just the top four. I can give you the whole list of first round quarterbacks.
You give me Daniels. You're giving me May. You're giving me Williams.
And I'm giving you J.J. McCarthy, who's expected to be the fourth quarterback off the board out of Michigan.
Yeah, he's probably going to. Everybody thinks Minnesota's going to trade up and get him. If I had to guess, because by the way, give me the order of the teams again. I know it's Bears, then Washington,
New England is at three, Arizona's at four. But I don't think that they're going to. They might trade out of that, but they probably want Marvin Harrison Jr. at four, and then the Chargers are five. But it seems like the Chargers are live to get out of that pick. And,
maybe.
Well, if it's a quarterback-hungry team and McCarthy's sitting there.
Yeah, but they should be. I know everyone loves – that's when people start talking about Harrison, and I know that the Arizona is the favorite to take Marvin Harrison, but you would think that the Chargers would be receiver-hungry. They just got rid of both of theirs.
Yeah.
You know, they just traded Keenan Allen and Mike Williams walked. So, gosh, if I had to put my chip into one guy, probably Daniels.
Okay.
Probably Daniels. I don't love the situation he's going into, but Washington doesn't have a terrible roster. I'm assuming he'll end up in Washington.
Right.
It's not a terrible roster. And you know, he can fall back on the dual threat thing, as can Caleb. But, you know, he can fall back on that, which I think kind of changes the arc early on in a guy's career. Because you can move the chains without being like a perfectly seasoned passer yet, because it takes guys some time. Yeah, if I had to pick a guy, that'd be my guy.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. I'd probably go the same direction. I'm not sold on Caleb Williams either. I wonder about that situation as well in Chicago. They tend to not get the quarterback right very often.
Ever.
Like going back to. What, Jim McMahon?
I mean, Jim McMahon and Jay Cutler are your choices for best quarterback of our lifetime. And one of them is a complete weirdo, and the other one is a complete weirdo. I don't know what to do with either of those things. You know, I know McMahon won a Super Bowl, greatest defense of all time for my money, and it was more about his sunglasses than his passing ability. And Jay Cutler was just a malcontent who was incredibly talented, but never really went anywhere.
Last Bears quarterback to start every game in a season, Jay Cutler, 2009.
Good Lord.
Yep.
What a stat.
Yep. And you had the next year was Cutler and Todd Collins. Then it was Cutler, Caleb Haney, and Josh McCown.
Listen to these names.
Cutler and Jason Campbell. Cutler and McCown. Cutler and Jimmy Clausen. Back-to-back years.
Mm-hmm.
Then Matt Barkley, Cutler, and Hoyer. Trubisky and Glennon. Trubisky, Chase Daniel. Trubisky, Nick Foles. Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, Nick Foles. Nathan Peterman, Trevor Siemian, Justin Fields. Tyson Bagent.
What are we doing?
And I could go even further back with Henry Burris and Steve Stenstrom. Shout out Stanford. Peter Tom Willis.
Pick two names and go with them. Christ. I mean, what are we doing here?
Pick two and go.
Yeah, come on.
Then there's a sexy Rexy era.
Yep, and he went to a Super Bowl.
Yep. Chad Krenzel's in there. Craig Krenzel, sorry.
I was going to say, who? Anyway.
He's out of Wisconsin.
Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. Hey, Rob, what's up? What are you doing?
Man, just driving through the city with my son.
Okay.
But look, B.A., I love Brandon Ayuk. But we already know how the Niners feel about him. They're not going to pay him. They're going to end up trading him to Will Buckner and then waste so many resources trying to replace Buckner. Well, you should just play in the 20 mil, but you're playing Hargrove the same way you played Buckner. But anyways, my opinion is it don't matter who the Niners draft. Kyle Shanahan needs to learn how to coach when the game is close in big games. That's the point. He can draft Michael Jordan, but he can't get the job done. We literally lost to a KC Chiefs team who were trying to save money, and we lost. We had the best roster in football and lost. So at the end of the day, this is about Kyle Shanahan getting over the hump. I don't really care about the draft. It's Super Bowl or bust.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
Walked you off, too, Rob.
Sure
nice.
Did. Yeah, I'm glad.
Dropped the mic.
There was not – Rob, love you. Thank you for listening. Hated every point you made. hated every point you made when you started by saying, we already know how they feel about Ayuk. We do? Your proof is what?
They don't like him, Mark. They don't want to pay him.
You're insinuating that they don't like him, which is like, based on what? They got mad at him 3 years ago, stuck with him, featured him this year, and now are like telling everybody who matters that they could not be more hesitant to trade him, to the point where TK just told us they came closer to trading Debo after a like legendary season. So the idea that they don't like Brandon Ayuk is crazy. Now, I don't really want to get into the Shanahan thing because I'm having a nice few months away. Really, I am. I'm enjoying not having to put my damn dukes up every day. Thank you. Putting the dukes up every day to defend the guy that goes at least to the NFC title game every year. It'll never cease to amaze me. Ever. Like, looking across the landscape of the league and acting like there are four better coaches in the NFL than Kyle Shanahan.
There might be four, but probably not more than four.
Positively absurd. There is not a human being on earth that, if asked to put together a top five coaches list, would not have Kyle on it.
And well, right now, you probably would have to.
You would?
Yeah, I think you would.
You would.
You take Andy ahead of him.
Okay, keep
going.
You can
make a John Harbaugh argument.
I'm not asking you to could make an argument. Make your argument.
Oh, I'd put John Harbaugh ahead of him.
Fine, there's two.
Geez.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is Romeo Crennel still coaching?
I mean, I just, it's like, God, I mean, somehow we've decided that because things have gotten wonky or frustrating at the end of football games, it means that he suddenly morphs into a different human being when there's a close big game. The Packer game wasn't close. The Lions game wasn't close. And Ayuk wasn't by himself in the end zone in the Chiefs game in overtime. Spencer Burford goes the wrong way. Kyle Shanahan needs to learn how to coach. I just am never going to understand how people's brains go that way. I'll never get it.
He can't win the big one, Mark. That's
fine,
why.
Fine. I give. It's
they're not going to pay Brandon Ayuk.
I'm not doing this.
They're not going to pay Ayuk, and Shanahan can't win the big one. So that's how that goes. Until they pay him, that's like Farhan. Farhan can't land a big free agent.
Go Giants.
And then he landed one, yeah. And okay. Attaboy, Farhan.
By the way.
That narrative died.
Quick aside. Did you see this thing today in The Athletic?
I did.
This is interesting.
You shared it with the group, I looked at it.
We'll get back to Ayuk.
And I thought,
I want everyone to listen to this because this is crazy and potentially grounds for me to really do the walk of shame. It really is. Because I've lessened this big time, and it's been warranted, but I have spent the better part of the Farhan Zaidi era. And it's not just Farhan. This is an entire front office that goes goes to ownership as well. But I've spent the better part of the Farhan Zaidi era defending them as well, as anyone who listens to this show knows.
Damn it, Farhan!
However, I am also someone, and I've told you this before, many of my opinions, I want them to be shaped by people who actually are on the inside. Why did I think Trey Lance wasn't any good? Not because I'm sitting here telling you that, oh, I went to practice and he missed a throw. No.
That happened.
That's true. But the Niners were telling me that they didn't like him based on their behavior.
Right.
All right, so check this out. The Athletic goes to 40 executives across baseball and asks them, rank your top 10 front offices in baseball. 40 different people are given a piece of paper to fill out 10 different teams. Make a top 10 list of baseball front offices. Check my math, Dibs. That means 400 times a team was written down, either 1 through 10.
The chance to be written down, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
40 executives, top 10 list.
Yep. Your math is right.
Do you know how many times the Giants got named on one of these lists?
Probably a bunch.
Zero.
Zero?
They did not get a vote.
Not even like a tenth?
They did not get a vote.
Throw me a freaking bone here?
They did not get one vote.
Wow.
40 baseball executives put the Giants, and there's a list of about 8 to 10 teams.
Oh, it's 16 teams got a vote. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm saying there's a list of about, okay, so I was saying that there was a list of teams where none of them got a vote.
Oh, that would be 14 teams there did not get even a vote.
The Giants are one of them.
I'm looking at it here, and you know the company with which they keep, and I'm just kind of cross-referencing right now.
Take a look.
Because the Reds and Mets got a 10th place vote. They got one single point in this. The Dodgers,
Reds.
Dodgers first, Rays second. That's easy. Then the Braves. Okay, and then it's a bit of a mishmash. But the other teams not to receive votes, the Colorado Rockies.
Huh.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, they're driving that thing into the ground pretty
they
good.
They sure are.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Pirates, who've been bad for a generation.
Yep.
As I mentioned, the Reds got a vote. The Miami Marlins did not get a vote. They're 6-19.
Yep.
The Nationals, 10-12, no vote. The Oakland Athletics.
Oh, I've heard good things about them. That's surprising.
9-15, coming off a tough loss. They did not receive a vote. The Astros are 7-17. They got 5 votes. And that's based on what they've done
over a long stretch. Isn't about just this year. This isn't about...
Right. Yeah. But, you know, where is your team? There's a team that's 3-20, Mark.
The White Sox.
They also did not receive a vote. The Royals didn't receive a vote. And so on. And so on. Interestingly enough, the Red Sox didn't receive a vote.
Red Sox.
Nor did the Blue Jays. So.
That one surprises me a little bit. They got a lot of good young players.
Yeah. Yankees did. Phillies, Mariners, and all the rest of it. But some of those teams that I mentioned are the dregs of Major League Baseball.
Not a single point.
Nope.
That has got to get our attention.
Farhan Zaidi did get a mention.
Saying what?
He's no longer with the Dodgers. Thank you. It was in the...
Is that why everyone voted for them?
It was in the Dodgers summation paragraph.
You know what that is.
It's a summation sensation, Mark, is what it is.
First time we've ever used that one.
Totally.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
So anyway.
No, that was surprising that they didn't even get a 10th, but
jeez.
That tells me that Major League Baseball is not thrilled with their farm and not thrilled with their Major League roster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how they're doing things.
That is definitely what it says. All right, back to Ayuk. Okay?
Yep.
A dramatic night is ahead. And the more I listen to all of these talkers about it, it's almost working as a preview for the draft for me, because you and I spent an hour joking about this the other day.
Oh, it's a great segment.
Well,
You're hot.
Well, but I love the draft. I really do. It'll be on tomorrow night. There's nothing else on. There's a Laker game, but whatever. They stink. The Nuggets are going to beat them. Like, there's no Giants game. The Warriors season is over. I'm not going to not have the draft on. I'll probably simulcast it with 95.7 The Game so that I can listen to Grandy and Evan and Sterling breaking it down. Breaking down the Ducks and apparently more.
All night long.
Yeah, how long are you going?
Till 10.
Okay, so we're like from 6 till 10?
Yep.
You'll cover it all?
Yep.
All right. Will you start out the show by doing a big synopsis of the first 3 picks, which will probably have already happened by the time you start?
I don't know if a big synopsis is accurate.
Do you trust that the big-time football analysis will have happened between 5:15 and 5 right here on Willie and Dibby?
Oh, we know you guys have it covered, but, you know, new audience comes in every 15 minutes. So,
it's a good point.
This guy.
It's a good point.
He's a politician in there. Grandy for president.
Anyway, I'm watching this thing. It's not that I'm not watching. It just makes me laugh how knee-deep into this thing some people get emotionally because they watched a college football game last year. And you saw some guy from North Carolina, and you're like, that's my guy, and I watch him every week, and that's my guy. And then, like, fine, that's your guy. But the vast majority of people who watch football, I believe, will sit down tomorrow and maybe know about 6 or 7 names. That's really it. And even if you know the quarterback names, like, I got a good bet here vast majority of you could be sitting next to Drake May right now. And you'd be like, oh,
no idea.
Yeah, there's this man sitting next to me on the ferry right now. Didn't recognize him whatsoever. So it's a reading of names. It's like going to church when they're giving off the list of people who donated the most last month. It's just a list of names. So that's what we're doing tomorrow night. And I'm in, and I'm excited, but I personally am going to be thinking solely one thing every time Roger Goodell walks to the podium. Don't say the word trade and 49ers in the same sentence. That's my goal.
I get it, and I'm starting to canvas the first round, looking at teams, thinking who might be in the market for a Brandon Ayuk. Or Ayuk, depending on how you want to go with it. And you can take out a lot of the top of the draft because we know that they need quarterbacks and they're going quarterbacks.
Sure.
I kind of worked my way down to number 13, the Las Vegas Raiders, thinking about their needs. And they need a wide receiver. And
they do?
Yeah.
I thought they needed a quarterback.
They do, but they probably won't be able to get one at 13. I mean, they've got O'Connell in the shoe. If one of those other quarterbacks is there, I guess maybe you go with Penix or...
Why don't they try to trade up?
You could, but you're not going to... If you really want one of the top three quarterbacks...
Well, no, not top three, but yeah, as you mentioned, Penix, whatever, like maneuver. I don't know, if I'm the Raiders, like...
You need a quarterback.
Yeah. You don't have a football team if you don't have a quarterback.
True, but...
You should be hell-bent on getting one. They should have been in the offseason. They should still be now. They should be hell-bent on getting a quarterback.
Yep. Jacksonville's got Zay Jones and Christian Kirk, so they're probably okay. And they just got Gabe Davis from Buffalo as well. They're picking at 17. Cincinnati's good with receivers. The Rams are picking at 19.
Cincinnati's got too many receivers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rams at 19. You're not going to trade with them anyway, but they're pretty good with what they have with Puka and Cooper Kupp, right?
Yeah.
And their third receiver's pretty good, too. His name escapes me.
They got a few guys that sort of moonlit in that neighborhood last year.
What about Pittsburgh at 20?
What about them?
How are they doing for receiver?
Well, we got George Pickens. They got Deontay Johnson.
Van Jefferson.
But they have been a rumored connector to Brandon Ayuk for sure.
Yep. Watkins.
I don't know if there's any smoke there, if there's any fire there. But, yeah.
That would be a spot.
It's been tossed around, which probably means there's no way in hell it's going to happen. Because this stuff is always in the weeds. That's the other thing. You know what I mean? You don't get to see this one coming. You don't get to sit here like they have on the Pittsburgh message boards for the last 2 weeks, being like,
check my message board.
I know. They're going to get Ayuk, and it's actually more likely than not. And it turns out there's like very little chance they won't get Ayuk. Like, that's what that whole thing has sounded like, and it's absurd.
Yeah.
The NFL's not going to tell you that kind of stuff. So... Yeah, I'd bet a lot of money that Ayuk is not going to end up on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, John Lynch has publicly mentioned Mike Tomlin in a press conference. He's like, yeah, we talk to each other. We can believe all the discussion going on. So, I don't know, man. That's my hope. And I get it. We all get to be fans, and you all get to see this however you want to see it and root for what you want to root for. And if this makes me Brandon's number one fanboy, so be it. I don't really care. I think it is of the utmost importance that Brandon Ayuk is still on the 49ers next year.
Fanboy!
I do not see a path for their wide receiver core to be what it needs to be without him on it this coming year. And I wholeheartedly vote that if a big name has got to go in the next 12 months, I think the most likely candidate for that is Deebo Samuel. Next March.
Yeah, which is essentially just kicking the old can down the road as far as needing a wide receiver either now if you trade Ayuk or then if you cut Deebo Samuel. So you're still going to need the same problem solved most likely unless you decide to keep paying Deebo and you bring Brandon back and you pay him top dollar or whatever it is that he's going to ask for. I just wonder as we get closer to go time, and you get into the draft, and you look at these teams, and as players are coming off the board, and you get closer to a spot, I look at Tampa Bay. They've got Godwin, Mike Evans, Trey Palmer, Tampa Bay might be a team looking for Brandon Ayuk, and they're picking at 26. So that wouldn't cost you that much if you're the Niners. I mean, you might wind up with 26 and 31 if you traded him Ayuk. How do you feel about that, Mark?
Horrible.
Sure you don't want to think about it?
No, I don't want to think about it.
Two first-round picks inside.
Exciting.
One draft.
Get to mess up the pick twice. Sweet.
They have not always messed up the first round.
No, they haven't. But I don't know any other way to say this.
Your lack of faith is disturbing.
If you're going to do Darth, you got to get a little closer to the mic.
We have a nice momentum going. Yeah. I don't want to stop down.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Yeah, you're better at it
anyway. Listen, this is what I'd say.
I'll handle the high notes.
Well, I want to use Brandon himself as an example of why you don't move on from Brandon. Brandon was a first-round draft pick. He had a first-round grade. You picked him. You traded up to get him, and he turned out to be very good. And guess what? Took 3 years before you were really comfortable. Year one, ooh, I like the way that guy looks. Year two, doghouse. Year three, okay, nice recovery, right? Year four, oh, my God.
Buffalo Bills.
Really good player.
Buffalo Year Bills. Year four, you're a Bills.
No, he's not. It's right here.
I mean, like, Buffalo's got Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, Buffalo's got nothing.
And nothing.
They got nothing. Gabe Davis left. They traded Stephon Diggs. They got
with
to rework
the 28th
that
pick.
Yeah.
There's been a trade.
I mean, it's possible. It is possible. That's the kind of deal that I could see that happening.
With the 28th pick, the Bills select Brandon Ayuk from the Niners roster.
All I want to tell you is if the 49ers do that and then draft a receiver to immediately step in and be that kind of a contributor, when it takes him 3 years to be good, I don't want to hear it.
What happens when he comes in and flashes immediately?
Not happening.
It's happened recently.
Not here. It happens
all the time.
Not here.
But you don't need it to happen here. Because
yes, you do.
Many other things.
Here is the only thing I care about.
But you're not receiver reliant here. You got a ground game.
Yes, you are.
You could go 21 personnel, Mark.
Dibs.
There it is.
Yes, you are.
You're overstating
it. No, I'm not.
You get two tackles, one at 28 one at 31.
When they drafted Debo and Ayuk, they drafted these guys almost in back-to-back drafts. There's a year in between there. One was one of the early second-round picks, and one was a first-round pick. Why? Because their receivers before that were brutal. They weren't any good, and it limits the offense. We've spent too long talking about how there's no downfield game. Jimmy G.
That's because Jimmy G.
Well, yeah.
Jimmy no throw.
And it's because of wide receivers.
Like, you got speed on the outside with Danny Gray. I'm sick of it.
Thank goodness Tim Kawakami said this.
I think it's set up for Debo Samuel's contract to be moved off after this season. I just think that's the way the contract was played out. It's like that's where they have this out. It's not this year. It's next year. Ayuk would not be getting a new contract starting till next season anyway, very likely. You don't really tear up that last season if you do the extension. They haven't with other players, so his number is not going up huge. In fact, it will go down because it's $14 million this season. A number will probably go down to start the cap hits and then expand, by a lot in later years.
I really appreciate that comment from Tim because this is another thing that NFL teams do before we get to July. Once you get to July, we're starting to move toward training camps opening, and things start to get serious as far as negotiations. But you'll watch this. NFL teams do a wonderful job of telling you all about how cash-strapped and cap-strapped they are and telling you about the numbers they don't want to pay because Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's coming now. Brock Purdy's coming now. Tim Kawakami just told you it's not going to really, really matter for at least two more years. You can structure it to make it three more years before Brock is really going to matter. Plus, Ayuk's cap number goes down if they sign him to an extension right now. Don't let the 49ers convince you that this is hard. It's not. They can afford it. Yes, they can. And if it does mean that someone's got to go at some point, it's funny to me. Didn't we talk about this with the Warriors? Aren't we talking about this with Clay? If I said to you right now, you want to let Clay walk or do you want to trade Kuminga?
You'd let Clay walk.
Okay, why?
Because he's older.
There you
and
go.
And he's not as good.
So why on earth do any of you want to trade Brandon Ayuk at 26 versus the battering ram who's about to turn 30 and misses way more games?
Well, it's not as simple as one or the other.
Tim Kawakami literally said
well,
that it
also,
is.
Also, if you let Debo go, as I've mentioned many times, you get nothing in return. You trade Brandon Ayuk, you get Buffalo's pick at 28.
Exciting.
Done and done.
Exciting.
And then you use that pick and you draft a wide receiver.
Hope we're still good in 3 years when Dibs' pick finally potentially
maybe. Yeah,
because
every rookie needs 3 years to be good.
Most of them.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
And I ran down a list yesterday of all the rookies who had good, solid, sturdy years.
Right, and I didn't come up with a counter list because it's way too long. Like, Dale on 880. Hi, Dale. What's up? You're on Willard and Dibs.
Hey, well, I think it was good you mentioned Clay there because I think the Clay situation and the Ayuk situation are similar. That if the Warriors didn't have Curry that's getting doubled and triple teamed, just like Debo's getting double teamed and sometimes more, the other player would not look as good. And I don't know if the Niners use that for negotiating, but they can't disrupt the team right now. If they really want to win a championship, you got to keep him. And like you were saying, you worry about the next year or 2 years from now. You got to keep the core of this team together and build up the offensive line some other way.
Yeah, I agree completely, Dale. And then I take it even a step further. Not only do I not think the 49ers can withstand losing him for this year, I think if you're betting on who's going to play better over the next 3 to 4 years, I mean, come on. You wouldn't answer that differently than me, would you? If I got to bet on one of those two receivers to be good for the next 3 to 4 years, which one are you betting
probably
on?
Probably Ayuk.
Come on. It's not. I mean, of course that's the answer. Of course.
Well, I mean, you're playing the percentages based on the injury history of Debo Samuel and the fact that Ayuk is just a better receiver.
Right.
What Debo does is becoming a diminishing skill because he's not going to be as physically able to run the ball like he did earlier in his career.
Plus, Christian McCaffrey's presence absolutely limits Debo's ceiling in any given
it
year.
It diminishes your need to use it.
100%.
And, you know, if 100%. Christian McCaffrey misses time and maybe you need to lean on Debo and he can be impactful in the ground game, hopefully you don't have to get to that.
So let me get it. Younger, better, and more reliable.
More expensive. And,
not necessarily. About the same.
Oh, absolutely.
About the same.
Debo is going to be off the books, as you were saying.
Well, right. But you're already paying him.
And Brandon's going to ask for way more than what Debo got.
Who's going to be more expensive this year?
Well, it's not about this year.
Yes, it's absolutely.
Who was more expensive?
Everything's about this year. Okay. Everything is. Sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Willard and Dibs.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If I had to guess, I'd say that he's still on the team tomorrow and the next day, but man. That's a guess. And I don't think John Lynch could tell you for sure. I really don't. I don't think they know. They're going to wait to see what the offers are, going to see what receivers on the board. When that pick, their offer comes to them, they're going to see how they feel about Ayuk. This is dramatic. This is really dramatic stuff.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
When that pick comes, they're going to see how they feel about Ayuk.
Man.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's a lot. That's a lot. Grandy's hopping in here in about 13 minutes. What are you doing tonight? What do we got? What are you starting off with? What's happening?
We're going to lead off with that conversation you just heard a little snippet of. Tim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami. Yeah. That's right.
We'll hear a little bit of Warriors at the beginning, but all the big stuff on Ayuk.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Like, if you want the Tim Kawakami conversation, of which Grandy will have a lot, right at 6 o'clock, in full, available, YouTube, Odyssey app, in full. It was not just about Ayuk. There was a lot of Warriors stuff in there as well. The likelihood of a Wiggins trade, what he thinks about Klay Thompson, and what the Warriors will attempt to do this offseason. What Joe Lacob is thinking about it. Steve Kerr, too. So all that is really good. Suggest that you hang with Grandy and take a listen here at 6 o'clock. Willard and Dibs, glad you're with us. Let's go back out to the phones. Matt in San Rafael. Hey, Matt, what are you doing?
Just about home. So I may be talking over some stuff that you've discussed because I came in real late because I got out of the office and heard you guys still talking about IU. I think that letting him go would potentially be the beginning of the end of this era, and I'll tell you why. Debo is, we all know, a one-of-a-kind player until they got McCaffrey, who's a lot like Debo. And the issue with Debo that has been talked about repeatedly is the way he plays, his body breaks down. Kittle is getting older. I don't know how much more he's got. The player that they've got, and also McCaffrey, he's a running back. Running backs generally don't have long careers. He's got some tread, already gone from the tires. I think maybe three more years before things start to go on him. Ayuk has his entire career ahead of him. And to say you can replace him with another receiver, he is maybe the best blocking receiver in the NFL, certainly the most willing, and it took three full years to make him what he is. Not every receiver is willing to do what he does, and not every receiver can do what he does. And if the Niners think that they can just drop him and find a replacement, I think they're going to be really, really hurting in a couple of years. I think they sign him. I think they move on from Debo. I think they draft Luke McCaffrey and start playing positionless football. That's what I think.
Matt, thank you very much. Does it sound any different coming from a different voice? I wholeheartedly back everything that Matt just said.
Yeah, it doesn't sway my opinion one bit, and that's his opinion. It's your opinion, and ultimately it comes down to the war room and the people in the war room. If they think that they have a player that they can draft who can replace Brandon Ayuk, who can block and approximate the things that he does, or maybe he won't be as good as him week one in the opening drive, but if they think that they can get value from Brandon Ayuk, if they don't think that they can sign Brandon Ayuk, if they know that there's a player out there that they like enough to insert in the starting lineup or in the rotation, then they're going to make that move. And I think what Tim said is absolutely spot on. If you get to that spot in the draft, and it might be Buffalo at 28, Buffalo's a team that is rumored to be interested in taking a wide receiver, maybe they would rather have your wide receiver and give up the 28th pick and maybe give you additional draft capital.
I would think they would want to do that because
they're right, and then because you get Brandon their pick, and then you go out and then right. you get a player at 28, you get a player at 31, and maybe you wait until later to get a wide receiver that you like.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things that can happen, and his opinion from San Rafael, yours from across the table, they're all good opinions, and it's just as valuable as mine or Grandy's or Lucas's or anybody's.
Of course. I just, like, that's neither here nor there. It's not to diminish anybody else's sort of, like, position on this. It's simply to say that there are pieces of it that surprise me because of data, because of life, because of the way this goes. To think that the arc of who Brandon Ayuk has been and has become, to think that that is replaceable overnight in the draft, I think is wild. Like, that is it's not that it's not possible. Anything's possible, which is the line that Mike Silver was using throughout the article. Anything is possible. Like, the Warriors are allowed to win the championship next year.
Sure.
But I'm here to tell you, like, that's kind of crazy. I don't sit here today and I don't see that path as being one you should chase. Because it's very, very, very unlikely. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too dangerous. If my daughter called me and she was like, "So, Dad, what I'm going to do is after you go to bed, I'm going to set an alarm for 1 a.m. and then I'm going to go on a walk by myself." She's 15 years old. I'm specifically going to look for back alleys. I would like to walk through
streets with no street lights.
All of the back alleys and do it in the middle of the night. And I'll see you when you wake up. I'm going to call her and be like, "That's going to be a no from me, dog." Like, we're not doing that, because that is a very, very dangerous and unlikely road to have that work out in your favor.
And that's what this is.
Absolutely.
This is a 15-year-old girl walking down a dark alley.
The idea of getting in the draft a receiver who can do what Brandon does right away as a rookie, I find so incredibly mathematically unlikely that the idea of doing it to me suggests one of two things. You are either totally enthralled with the business side of this and buying that the 49ers, quote-unquote, shouldn't be able to afford this, or you're way too wrapped up in fantasy football. You're a college fan, and you're excited about some dude who's 6'2" in the SEC.
Or you have a player in mind who actually is going to be good.
Who?
Much like Brock Purdy came in. There was a guy that you liked named Brock Purdy, and you drafted him, and turned out you were right. And you've been right in the draft before.
That wasn't the goal.
The goal was to draft a player who was good.
No.
Always the goal.
No, that's not.
Literally.
But that was not the plan with Brock Purdy.
Well, they got to the last pick in the draft, and they could have picked any human being
right under
the sun who was not on the team, and they chose Brock Purdy.
Right.
They liked Brock Purdy.
Right. By the seventh round, you're simply going, "Well, this guy, you know, I like him." But it's not, and we're hoping that in September it pays dividends starting week one. That obviously was not the plan. In fact, they got to training camp, and Kyle Shanahan had to call a meeting with Jed York to be like, "I got something to admit to you. It turns out that the last quarterback in the room is actually the best guy."
Right.
Nobody saw that coming.
You drafted a talented guy, and it worked out.
But that's not what we're looking to do here.
We're looking to replace Brandon Ayuk with a drafted player, most likely.
Right away.
Right, so you're going to try it. You're going to... Obviously, if you do this, you're going to have a wide receiver in mind that you like, and I don't know who that is.
Oof.
And then you would draft that player. You would coach him up because you're the offensive wizard.
Just like they did with Brandon.
Yeah, it took him some time.
Three years.
It's not like Brandon stunk as a rookie.
No, he didn't stink. But
right. He
didn't do this.
Well,
he didn't do what Brandon can do now.
It's because they had a lesser quarterback, and they don't throw the ball very often.
It's for a lot of reasons.
Right.
In fact, there were so much that he didn't do back then that he does now that he ended up in year two in Kyle's doghouse.
Well, that's something that's a media creation. Kyle never said that he was in his doghouse.
No, his behavior did.
Right.
His decisions did. They did. He didn't play him.
Yeah, Kyle never used that phrase. What? It's something that, like, two timelines, so something that the media has created.
So you have to use the phrase for it to be true? You have to say it at a press conference?
I mean, the idea of doghouse?
I mean, Tim just said to us an hour ago that the Warriors were very frustrated with Andrew Wiggins all year. Anybody ever say it into a microphone?
Probably not.
Okay.
They did say when he actually played well, "Hey, Andrew, look at you.
Yeah.
You're pretty good when you actually try."
Exactly. Yeah. That's crazy. Where'd that come from? Anyway. The day will be here tomorrow. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Ding, 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 doo, 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 whatever. All right, Grandy's coming right here. Grandy's coming up here with, and it'll start with Tim Kawakami. We referenced the interview about 1,000 times because it's got some really good information in it. And that's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. You want to do this again tomorrow?
I can't wait till tomorrow.
It's been a nerve-wracking day.
Totally.
Let's do it. Here we go. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.